In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How have the last week or two been for you? Have you sat through too many Zoom meetings, eaten too much junk food like me, run out of jigsaw puzzles, walked the patient dog yet again to get some fresh air? More seriously, it's not surprising if isolation is becoming harder to bear, where perhaps no job or unpaid bills and worry about rent is getting to you. Or you might be anxious about what the next few weeks might be, what they might look like when we slowly emerge from lockdown. There's been more than enough, I think, to make us feel a continuous undercurrent of uncertainty or even dread, even in relatively comfortable Toorak and Melbourne, and even as we look tentatively to better times. Ironically, the last few months have been extraordinary for bringing the world together far more than usual. Closed borders, closed businesses, closed schools, closed churches, mosques, synagogues, and other religious centres, closed homes, seem somehow to have opened us up to an astonishing level of compassion and kindness and humour and goodwill around the world. And that's a marvellous, inspirational thing, a tribute to human resilience and God's grace. Yet even though we're taking baby steps to more optimal times, more optimistic times, the fallout of this pandemic is real. What word can we use to describe the tragedy of nearly 300,000 people dying in a few short months? Or the millions and millions around the world who have lost their jobs, perhaps forever? There's ongoing loneliness and stress, an increase in abuse, an increase in mental strain. And of course, there's untold suffering in places where medical infrastructures and facilities are basic at best or non-existent. In times like these over the last few weeks, last few months, we've all needed comfort and a sense of hope. Where do we find this? Where and from whom can we draw strength? Our gospel reading from St. John today speaks into a very human reality of separation and loss, something we're acutely aware of right now. Jesus continues to say goodbye to his disciples on his final night with them before he's arrested and put on trial. Time's running out, and Jesus reiterates a centrally important message: love me and love one another. The reading opens and closes with these words: if you love me, you'll love one another. Yet what becomes apparent in this small reading today is Jesus modelling what it is to love. Gazing at his disciples, he sees their apprehension about a future where he'll no longer be with them in physical form. They don't want him to go. They want him to stay. They offer to follow Jesus wherever he goes. But of course, he tells them that where he's going, they cannot go. Why do the disciples feel so anxious and frightened about a future without Jesus with them side by side? Jesus has got them right in the face of hostile authorities. He's continually taken them to the dregs of society to mingle with people they'd rather not know. He's befuddled them many times with his parables and questions, his talk of glory and going to the Father. Let's be honest, sometimes Jesus is just not that super easy to be around. What is it about Jesus that his departure grieves them so? Wouldn't it be better to put all this behind them, to pack their bags and go home to take up their trade again? The truth is that Jesus has utterly upended their lives. They don't always get what Jesus says or does, but they know that their worldview is more and more Jesus-shaped, and they see countless other people's lives transformed. Jesus embodies all that's merciful, loving, healing, forgiving, and he's especially compassionate towards those on the margins. It's not a theoretical thing for the disciples. They see with their own eyes, bodies made whole, shattered individuals renewed with hope, sinners embraced and changed, and hypocrites exposed. Everything about Jesus is transfiguring, exhilarating, life-changing, and dangerous. For the disciples to not have Jesus in their life is unthinkable. So where to find the strength to go on? The disciples feel just as we must feel sometimes when we lose our anchor, disoriented and adrift. But Jesus reassures them and us with words that speak right into a fearful soul. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. On this last night, like a loving parent, Jesus promises his friends that they won't be orphaned. It's a strangely endearing thing to say to a bunch of tough fishermen. It conjures the image of a defenseless child unable to protect itself and vulnerable to all the harms of the world. When he himself, in a few short hours, will be abandoned, it's extraordinary that the mind and heart of Jesus are focused solely on the well-being of his friends. Jesus appeals to his Father to send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, in fact, another Advocate, as Jesus is the first Advocate. He sends the Holy Spirit to comfort and empower them after he has gone. The Holy Spirit, the shy God of the Trinity, is a God who comes alongside the disciples, comes alongside us, particularly in our suffering or pain. He's the God who provides balm for our fears. Jesus knows the solace of the Holy Spirit will comfort his uncertain, fearful, trembling group of disciples as they contemplate life without him. Jesus knows the power of the Holy Spirit that will sustain and fortify his disciples when they journey out to proclaim the good news that awaits the world, that Jesus' death on the cross was not an ignominious end, but the beginning of new life. Jesus knows the consolation of the Holy Spirit that will give his disciples the courage to endure all that a violent, cruel world will throw at them as they share the truth of God's love and grace in the risen Christ. Well, perhaps through this pandemic, and as we do edge closer to opening up the world again, some of us may be feeling relieved, excited, and ready to go. But perhaps some are feeling as though there's been precious little comfort, that there is precious little comfort, little strengthening, and even very little of God. If you're feeling this way, you wouldn't be alone. The last few months have been cruel months indeed. The wry memes going around saying, "I've deleted 2020," and other similar snippets belie ongoing feelings of loss, worry, and grief. It wouldn't be unnatural to feel that God can feel far away. But God is not quick to move into spiritual fixes. The Holy Spirit sits gently in all of us and won't be rushed. There's a time for everything under heaven. And if right now it's more a time of mourning than a time for dancing, that's okay. God didn't rush the disciples out into the world unready, and God's not going to rush us either. In this time of pandemic, maybe it's enough, maybe it's just enough, to know that God, who rejoices when we rejoice and weeps when we weep, is always at the ready to lift us up in hope. Amen.